Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome. Welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Hey, good morning, Fred.
And good morning to you, Tim.
Fred Jackson. Okay, so today is August the 14th, Monday, August the 14th, 2023. We, again, hope you're having a wonderful day and a nice summer. It's hotter than blazes in a lot of parts of the country, fellas, and has been for the last few weeks.
But relief is on the way.
Yes.
At least in our neck of the woods. Here in North Mississippi, next 3 days.
And let's be clear, that's all we care about.
Is where you live. That's all you care about. We don't care about anybody else's.
But lows overnight in the 60s. Now, that may sound a big deal, but that's a big deal when you're getting up in the morning and it's been 80 degrees at 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, so where we live here in Tupelo, MS, it's going to be 83 tomorrow, high 82 Wednesday. And then back to normal summer temperatures. But our poor friends in, you get west of the, I guess maybe over in Arkansas. I know Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We've had a lot of rain in our sector of the country.
Right.
But Texas, Robert Thornton, Jeff, who does newscasts for us out of Tyler, Texas, he said it's been super dry, especially in West Texas, super dry. Mm-hmm. But good news, fall is on the way.
Yeah.
Canada gets blamed a lot.
Rightfully so.
But I want to tell you, Saturday morning in Regina, Saskatchewan,
yes,
it was 48 degrees.
Really?
48 degrees. So it's dropping down.
How did you know that?
I have an app on my phone.
Pays attention to Canada.
That's your old stomping ground?
Well, I did some of my pilot training in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan, which is not far from Regina, the capital of Regina.
Moose Jaw.
And I got a speeding ticket in Regina because that is the home of the RCMP, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. That's where they train.
They pulled you over, and they were on horseback and you were speeding.
No, they had the students out. Let's go practice on the drivers.
Oh, man.
And so I got caught.
Yeah, fall will be here soon.
Yes, it's coming.
Folks will get some relief.
Yes.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, last week we promoted the Truth for Youth Bible campaign that we do annually and have been doing for 23 years here at American Family Association and American Family Radio. We partner with Tim Todd and Revival Fires Ministry. They're based out of West Monroe, Louisiana. And so that went on all last week, and Tim is on the phone with us from West Monroe to give us the final tally. And Tim, good morning to you, brother.
Good morning, Tim and Ed and Fred. Good to be with you this morning.
So the weather been hotter than blazes there where you live for a long time too, hasn't it, for like a month?
Yes, and humid too, but it's been more hotter than it has been humid.
Yeah. Okay, Tim. So, what was our goal when we started last week?
65,000 Bibles going into the hands of young people across America. That was our goal.
Okay. And drum roll, please. We don't have a drum roll.
65.
Hold on a second, Tim. Hold on a second.
Let me get the band.
Tim, okay. I asked for a drum roll, and we don't have a drum roll sound queued up. So, Ed, would you do a drum roll for us, please?
A drum roll.
I'll do it. Boom.
That's not a drum roll. That's a locust during the summer.
That's Chevy Chase.
I had to make it up on the fly right there. Okay. Go ahead, Tim. What's our numbers?
65,270 Bibles.
Wow.
Can we get a woohoo, Ed?
What? Woohoo!
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. I can do the woohoo. I can't do the... Tim Todd, in other words, Revival Fires Ministry, this seems to me to be a teaching moment. So we set our sights for 65,000 and got just over 65,000. Maybe next year by faith we shoot for 70,000 because
Amen.
We apparently got
Amen.
Just barely what we wanted. See what I'm saying? Tim, I'm talking to Tim
yes.
Wildman now.
Yes.
We need to strike the ground with the arrows more than three times.
Okay, so this is how Alabama, Georgia, and Ohio State football fans are. You know what? They can't appreciate the moment of greatness. They got to talk about being undefeated for the next 5 years
yep.
until they're happy, okay? We're celebrating
breaking, yes, we are.
Breaking the record here.
Right.
And this means 65,000 Bibles go out across America to youth, teenagers primarily, and they will in turn give them to young people they know who don't know the Lord, and lives will be changed. And we get
that's evidence. What I meant to say.
Yes. So we just celebrate this moment. This is wonderful. We did break the record, and to your team there, you guys, Tim, we want to thank you for because you got all the phone volunteers there at Revival Fires in West Monroe. To answer the phones all last week. I know a lot of people called, a lot of people went online, but you've been able to celebrate with your team there too?
Yes. You know, we usually, and this is every year, we have the team challenge that is one of the team challenges here in this area that they bring all of their team challenge young people to come and answer the phones for us and
oh, wow.
help us with the project. And so that makes it to where that we're able to get another ministry involved in it. And of course, you know, these are ones that God has delivered from drugs and alcohol and different things that they had struggled with in the past. And then they see that God is going to do a work in the lives of the young people that are getting these Bibles to help them avoid some of the pitfalls that they came into. So this is a tremendous thing. And I want to say thank you, Tim, and to your team for helping us make this happen. Because of this partnership, we're able to reach a massive amount of young people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can tell you, without, and this is just the way God works, without American Family Radio and American Family Association, this would not have happened. Your team did a phenomenal job keeping the phones ringing and the online activity. And so we just say a huge thank you to your team for helping us and the people that called in too to get the Bibles. Thank you so much. Because yeah. God is going to do a great work in the lives of these young people.
Amen. All right, Tim, take care, my friend. Where are you off to? Where's your next?
I preached in Oak Grove, Louisiana, Sunday, and they are huge fans of American Family Radio and American Family Association.
Yes.
You're on strong there. And then this coming weekend, we'll be in Pearl River, Louisiana, close to New Orleans area, and then we'll be preaching in Monroe, Louisiana the following week. And God is doing a great work, and we're just thankful for what God is doing in these last days.
Tim, when are you going to get it? I recommend that you get up to the Boston area and New England. Man, there's some serious sinners up there. That's where I come from. If you ever get up that way to New England?
You know, I haven't actually. And I would be happy to get over there and preach. If I have an invitation, I would certainly make that a priority.
Tim, there, you get up that way, they're going to definitely make fun of the way you talk.
Absolutely,
brother.
And it might go in both directions.
Duly noted. Yes, indeed.
Where'd you park your car, brother Todd?
All right, thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
We appreciate y'all very, very much, Tim.
Right.
God bless.
All right. Well, that's just
that's wonderful. And you know, that was a thrill to hear that they partner with the Teen Challenge Group too.
Yes, that was
great
good.
Ministry.
And I just want to, AFR listeners are the best.
Yes,
they are.
Yeah,
folks, you when the call goes out, you guys respond,
absolutely. And that's why they're the best. Okay,
yeah.
Because they get involved.
Yes,
they act.
Yes,
upon
thank
their
you,
beliefs.
Thank you, folks, very much. As always.
Absolutely. All right, Ed, if folks want to watch this here show, on what you affectionately call that their internet, what do they need to do?
Well, you have two options if you want to watch the live video stream for this program. You can either go to Facebook, search for Today's Issues and click through, or you can go to our own streaming platform, streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. You can catch the live video stream there as well.
Jenna Ellis will be coming up at the bottom of the hour with us. Jenna is she's the host of our morning show here, 7 to 8 o'clock Central Time on AFR. She's also a constitutional attorney. We're going to be asking her about the appointment by Attorney General Merrick Garland of, what's the gentleman's name?
Weiss.
Yeah, David Weiss.
David Weiss as a special counsel investigating the Hunter Biden situation.
Yes. In the wake of the whistleblowers, the IRS whistleblowers testifying under oath before Congress that they were impeded in their investigation by David Weiss, the Attorney General of the United States, Merrick Garland, on Friday announced that he's appointing David Weiss as a special counsel.
A lot of people think this is the proverbial box guarding the chicken coop.
No kidding.
And no telling where.
This is so corrupt. Huh? And Jenna will lay all this out for us. It's very corrupt.
All right.
That's all I wanted to say.
I think you guys have already weighed in with your opinion.
It's hard not to, but.
I don't know. No, I understand. We'll talk to Jenna about this at the bottom of the hour. The saddest news, at least on the national scale, is what's happened in Maui, Hawaii.
Oh, my.
Fellows, have you seen, I know you have, the video and just the pictures of what happened, of the fire?
Yeah. Like a big bomb went off. Like, everything is torched.
Yeah. It was, so, the whole, I don't know how many miles, but what I saw was miles and miles and miles mm-hmm. of incineration.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. It wasn't like a spotty wildfire that went here and went there and still did a lot of damage. This is like you said, it looks like something out of a World War II when you saw England, how it was just bombed and just leveled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The firebombing of Dresden, Germany, because like you said, it's just, there were no spots spared. It was, and I guess this is ironic given the location where they have waves of water. This is like a wall of fire that just burned everything. Like you said, incinerated. It's a perfect word. Incinerated. All you see are the remains of cars and houses. And it's very difficult to look because sometimes you'll see the bodies of these poor people that had nowhere to go. You couldn't drive out of it because you either drove into the fire or you headed for the ocean. And, of course, a lot of us saw the video of people jumping into the ocean to escape.
I think the death toll is over 100 now.
96 as of this morning.
But there's a lot of people who have unaccounted for. And
hundreds.
And the fear is that they were lost in the fire.
Yes.
And did I understand this correct, that during the fire, I don't know how many hours it took, but there were hurricane-force winds blowing? Is that right?
There was a high-pressure system on the northern part of the islands, and then there was a hurricane moving from east to west across the bottom. And so basically you had a squeeze in the middle. This hurricane, 80, 90-mile-per-hour winds. And so that's why when you see the pictures that we were looking at last week, you had a wild. Now, we're used to seeing fires like in California
right.
and forest fires. But take that and multiply the speed about 100 times.
Yeah.
These flames just swept into areas. I was listening to a testimony from a pastor from Hawaii this morning talking about his church building was destroyed, his house was destroyed. He talked about driving away with his wife, getting out of there. And they came up on, they had to make a decision to turn right or turn left to try to escape out of the area. And he was going to go right. And his wife said, no, honey, go left, go left. I just feel we need to go left. He turned left. He looks in the rearview mirror, and where he was about to turn, a fire had swept in, and a car disappeared inside the fire.
Oh my.
That was following them. This is just how rapid things were happening there.
Also, there were reports that the I think the governor said this of Hawaii, a gentleman, I forgot his name, but he said that the emergency alarms didn't go off. So, there was no. I don't know how much that would have helped,
mm-hmm.
but it would have helped some because it would have given people some warning. Because this just came, like I said, can you imagine? You've been outside in 30, 40 mile an hour winds. Well, double that,
yes.
And then have so the embers are just going so fast. You can't call the fire department to come put something like that
right.
out.
No. Right. Josh Green, by the way, is the governor of Hawaii. I think that's why the death toll is going to go up significantly, is because the speed at which that was moving. I'm guessing that a lot of people were, first of all, overcome by the smoke and just no way to get away. Or in the case like you're talking about with the pastor and his wife, just driving into the wrong place. And the speed of the fire moving so quickly, you don't even have time to turn around or outrun it.
No, it's bad.
Yeah, and these poor people are jumping into the ocean.
To get away.
To get away. All the while, these winds are blowing these embers on them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And you can't go too far out because then you'll be swept out to sea.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just a horrifying situation.
The relief has started. Samaritan's Purse are flying tons of relief material in there. 8 Days of Hope, understand, we're told this morning that they're getting churches here in the mainland of the United States to gather up and send material in. Most people have nothing left.
Yeah,
they escape with the clothes on their back, maybe their vehicle. In some cases, they had to run away.
Yeah,
if you have a forest fire or a wildfire on the mainland that we see annually in California and especially out west,
mm-hmm.
you can go somewhere, right?
Yes.
I mean, you can escape usually unless something happens really freaking fast. But when you're on an island. There's only so many, and I understand there were other fires going on at the same time on the island. So mm-hmm. you got hurricane force winds. You don't really know which way to go, where to go. Mm-hmm. Probably nobody on the radio or on the civil defense, whatever you call it, the emergency system. They don't probably know what to tell people to do in that situation. It was just
tragic. I'll tell you something else, too, as Fred was talking about the aid getting to that place, to Hawaii. We all probably have had experiences through our church or whatever. You hear so-and-so, their house was burned by a fire. They lost everything. Everyone around there gets together. We'll donate beds. We'll donate clothes. We'll get them to where they can find a place to live and start getting their lives put back together. But when you have, I don't know what the numbers are of homes that have been destroyed, there is nobody around
right.
that hasn't lost everything. So now you're talking about getting medication to people who need medication. People have nowhere to live.
Right.
Nothing to eat, nothing to drink, none of those kinds of things. You have so many people in the same situation. You have to have help from the mainland. Because just to put lives back together where they can survive, that help has to come from somewhere. It can't come from most of the people in your immediate area.
One of the big problems, too, is finding relief shelter right now. Obviously, the hotels are putting people up, but there's a limit to how many hotels,
right.
How many rooms are available. So then what happens? People have to go to another one of the islands. I think it's being called now the worst wildfire disaster in American history.
Well, according to Bloomberg, it says the death toll from the fast-moving wildfires in Maui rose to 93. Mm. This is a few hours ago, making them the deadliest in the U.S. in more than 100 years.
Yes. Wow.
As concerns grew about the effectiveness of the island's emergency alarm system.
I'm just glancing, so this may not be the full story here, but New York Times says as many as 6,000 people are now homeless. That may just, this is just talking about one town, so.
Yeah, the whole place is, this isn't, this is, the whole place is going to have to be rebuilt.
Yes.
The whole city of, what's the name of the town?
Lahaina.
Lahaina. I believe it's
the whole place.
Yeah.
And a lot of people's cars, everything was destroyed in that region, just completely annihilated.
So. Well, and the other thing that you don't think about right away is the places where people were employed.
True.
Those are gone.
Yeah.
True.
So you don't have a job to go to next week.
Right.
You know,
right.
These people, yeah, it's tragic, sad, and devastating, and it's hard to watch, hard to look at. I'm glad that Samaritan's Purse and our own our friends at 8 Days of Hope are helping out.
Yeah, and check with your church. If you know, you're Southern Baptist, or the Southern Baptists, I'm sure, are going to do things. I'm sure there are Southern Baptist churches on the islands down there. So check with your church to see what you can do, folks. These folks are going to need help for a long, long time.
Right.
Yeah. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Fred.
Well, schools are getting back into another year, and we have a story on our site this morning, AFN.net. And one of the battles in many places that parents need to be aware of is transgender policies. In 23 states now, 23 states have acted to put laws in place to keep boys who claim they are girls from playing on female teams, from using girls' bathrooms, all of these sorts of things. We had a press release this morning from our friend at Four Winds, Steve McConkey. And let me just read you a paragraph, if I can, from his press release. Parents in Green Bay, Wisconsin, are furious that a transgender athlete, probably a boy who says he's a girl, is leaving welts and bruises on their daughters. The sport is not identified, but probably it is volleyball. And we've been getting reports of this. Just imagine, girls volleyball, I understand the net is lower. Somebody was saying several inches lower than in boys volleyball. And so you've got these guys who say they are girls playing against these young girls, and they're pounding the volleyball down.
Right.
And injuring.
Where is this going on?
This is Green Bay. He says it's in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Hmm. All right.
You know, I remember at least a year ago, maybe a little over that, I saw a video, and I think it was a high school. I don't think it was in Wisconsin, but it was a high school volleyball game, and a boy dressed like claims to be a girl did an overhead spike and knocked a girl out completely, not hit her in the face, and because the speed, the velocity at which the ball was traveling, the power behind the swing, and this girl, poor girl, just got knocked senseless.
Well, it's up to the states to decide this.
And
if you know, That's many states, as you say, Fred, have already enacted law. How many did you say?
23 states are enacting laws.
Right, to protect girls' sports.
Yes.
The other places, I don't know, Wisconsin, I always think of Wisconsin as a all-American state, you know, sort of rural values, if you will. I know they got some big cities in Milwaukee and Madison and such, but... you know, if you live in a state where they're going to allow boys to play girls' sports, you might want to consider getting out or moving.
Yeah, and be mindful. Democrats who celebrate themselves as protector of women's rights, they're allowing these girls to be injured.
They're championing.
Yes.
Yeah, that could backfire in a state like Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Over 70% of Americans are opposed to boys being allowed to play girls' sports just because they identify as a girl.
Yes.
All right, we'll be back with Jenna Ellis in just a moment. Stay with us.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
Can you remember the zest we had for living when we were children? I can remember how each day was exciting, something to look forward to. There was always enough energy to do whatever it was that we wanted to do. It's a wonderful thing, this zest for living. The problem is that it sometimes dies when we become adults. We are beset by all the many and varied concerns which life places on the shoulders of adults, and we often let those weigh us down until the zest for living is gone. How can we maintain this childhood zest for living? Well, I've found some guidelines which will help us do that. I'd like to share them with you. One thing which helps keep the zest in living is the knowledge that your life has some lasting significance. There is in each of us the desire to be somebody. Nobody wants to be a nobody. This desire to be somebody is a God-given desire. This desire is not so much one to be rich or famous or powerful, but rather it is that of being needed, wanted, loved, to know that you matter. When we lose this feeling that we are worth something to someone other than ourselves, the zest for living goes out of life. I want to know when I die that what I have done has made a difference in the corner of the world in which I live. I want to know that I added something to the world to make it a better place. William James, the 19th century American psychologist, once said this: "The great use of life is to spend it on something that outlasts it." And Leo Rosten added, "The purpose of life is not to be happy, but to matter, to be productive, to be useful, to have it make some difference that you lived at all." And, of course, it was the Galilean carpenter who said, "He who loses his life for my sake shall find it." Another thing which helps keep the zest in living is a positive attitude. You see, our attitude governs what kind of life we will have. Your glass is either half full or half empty. It all depends on how you look at it. In any situation, you can look for the good or you can look for the bad. You can usually find both. What you do find depends on what you're looking for. When life doesn't go exactly right, you can quit and curse the world and God, or you can pick up the pieces and start again. What you do depends on your attitude. A person can look for the good or he can look for the bad. He can be critical or he can be commending and commanding toward life. And it doesn't take an ounce more of energy to look for the good, to believe the best. The other factor involved in keeping the zest in living is a deep and active faith in the Nazarene. As a teenager, I came to the realization in my life that with him, life made sense, and apart from him, it was meaningless. I have long believed that with him, I can achieve some great ambitions, but apart from him, ambitions aren't worth having. An active faith in the Galilean answers life's deepest and most perplexing problems. A person needs to know that despite all of life's inconsistencies, God still rules. Just because you aren't always a child doesn't mean you can't have a zestful life. So keep the zest in living. It makes life more exciting.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Psalm 139, 23, and 24.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, and Fred, and we thank you for listening to AFR. Just as we spoke at the top of the program about where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi, the weather is going to be really pleasant during The rest of the week, 82, 83 degrees for highs, which is unusual for the summer. So, as you said, Ed, all people really care about is where they live.
Right.
And so I said, well, I'll just check out Dallas TX and see how they're going to be doing this week. Surely they'll get some relief. That'll be a big fat no. Listen to these poor folks, and this is all throughout Texas.
Oh, it's been a brutal summer for them.
108 Thursday. I'm talking about this Thursday.
That's the actual temperature?
This is just straight up.
Oh, my goodness.
108 Friday. Oh, they get a break on Saturday. It's 107.
Oh, my goodness.
Then 108, 108, 107, 107 Sunday, 104 Monday, 100 Tuesday, 103, 105. It's,
My sister they
got
and her
They got 10 days ahead of 100 and above.
My sister, her husband, her daughter, and her husband, of course, all of them work, but they just took the week off, and they went on an Alaskan cruise.
Oh, they're from Dallas?
They live in the Dallas area because this has been just been unbroken. I don't know how many days in a row it's been over 100 in Dallas and Texas.
So I just say keep driving the SUVs, people. Just keep driving them and watch the planet burn. Huh?
High quality cynicism, yeah.
Okay. Listen, we've had heat waves down through history.
Right.
Three summers, it gets brutal.
Yeah.
Especially in the southwest part of the country, and that's what they're experiencing right now. All right, you're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Well, maybe one day, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be able to do one show without mentioning the name Hunter Biden. But he's like a reoccurring theme here in the news, and it's not because we want to do this. It's because he is in the news. He, of course, is the son of the President of the United States, Joe Biden.
Who says he has nothing to do with his son's businesses.
Joe Biden makes Pinocchio look like an honest man. Huh? Am I right?
I'm a real boy.
There was an announcement on Friday, I think it was, by the Attorney General, Merrick Garland, about a special counsel that was been appointed.
Oh, he's a stand-up guy, that Merrick Garland.
Okay.
He's going to get to the bottom of this.
Okay. I think this is Jenner's role. Your role is to ask questions, but you go ahead.
I was just being cynical. I know. Just following your lead.
Jenna Ellis joins us now. Jenna is a constitutional attorney. She is also the host of Jenna Ellis in the Morning. Weekdays here on AFR from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock Central Time. Good morning, Jenna.
Good morning, and I was just Googling the balmy weather in Cancun to, take a page from Ted Cruz's book for if anyone wants to get out of Texas.
Yeah.
It's a balmy 90 degrees, so,
yeah,
you know,
Cancun.
For what that's worth.
Cancun's good in January, that's what it's...
That sounds like a country song.
Cancun's good in January, yeah. By the way, what's the weather like? I know you're from Colorado. What's the weather like in the summer in Colorado? It's pleasant, isn't it?
It's beautiful. Yeah, it's absolutely beautiful, and it cools off in the evenings. And it's actually been rainy there this summer. I was out in Colorado for a few weeks, a couple of weeks ago, and it was really, really nice. So I'm back in Florida now, and it is a balmy 94 degrees here with a side of a lot of humidity, actually.
Yep.
So
yeah,
I'm not used
well,
to that.
Well, listen, if you move to Florida,
Colorado,
you sign up for humidity. Okay? You know what you're getting into right there.
And thankfully, though, I live here in the century that we have indoor air conditioning. So
amen.
It all works
God
out.
Knew when, God knew when you needed to be born, didn't he?
Absolutely.
He knew how weak I would be.
The sovereignty of God allowed me to be the generation that gets air conditioning. Yeah. It's amazing.
So,
all the little things we truly do take for granted.
This is deep theology right here, people. The sovereignty of God and air conditioning mentioned in the same sentence.
That's right.
Brought to you by theologian Jenna Ellis. All right, Jenna, tell us about the situation with Hunter Biden in the terms of the special counsel that was appointed by Attorney General Merrick Garland to tell us about what's going on here.
Yeah, well, as my grandmother would have said, this all amounts to a hill of beans in terms of accountability is the bottom line here for Hunter Biden. So Merrick Garland did announce that he has appointed U.S. Attorney David Weiss as special counsel in the Hunter Biden investigation, and everyone should put investigation in air quotes. And that's because the same Department of Justice under David Weiss had also moved last week to dismiss the Hunter Biden case and bring new charges. And the prosecutors who were investigating Hunter Biden on tax-related charges said that they could not ultimately agree on the terms of his sweetheart deal. And that's mainly because the judge in the case refused to accept the very vague terms and whether or not that included or didn't cover any other potential charges. And apparently there was a disagreement between the Department of Justice and Hunter Biden's legal counsel. And the judge wanted this on the record and asked them about it. And so now, instead of going back to the drawing board and actually getting a plea deal in place, now David Weiss, this newly appointed special prosecutor, has moved to simply dismiss the entire case and says that they would like to refile, or they plan to refile, charges in either Washington, D.C. or California, which should tell you everything. This is clearly, in my opinion, forum selecting, because the judge in this case did not want to just rubber stamp this sweetheart plea deal. Now suddenly, oh, wait a minute, this is the wrong jurisdiction. We have to go file in Washington, D.C. or California, get a liberal judge that, of course, will be favorable toward the Department of Justice and Hunter Biden. And that's now, we don't intend to bring charges. The nexus, of course, is much closer to D.C. and California than Delaware. So this is now the new status, and Garland has appointed this same prosecutor special counsel, which basically means that he now has an independent oversight, can have decision making, and this is a way for Garland and President Joe Biden to disclaim any sort of oversight over the counsel that is investigating Hunter Biden. So now, in that case, the judge has ordered Biden's attorneys to respond to the government's motion to dismiss by noon today, so within roughly 20 minutes.
Wow.
All right, Fred.
Jenna, I understand, politically speaking, why they would want to move it out of Delaware, because that's where the Trump-appointed judge said, you know, it's a sweetheart deal, I'm not going to go along with it. But how is it that they get to move the case to California? What's the connection with California and what Hunter Biden was doing back home in Delaware?
Right. And that's really the question that hopefully the judge is going to be asking in terms of dismissing this case and looking at the pleadings here. And I think, if I recall correctly, the laptop, Hunter Biden's laptop, was left in California, and so there is some kind of, you know, nexus there. But so I think it was at that shop that was in California. But I mean, ridiculously, this is clearly forum selecting. They want to have a judge that is going to go along with whatever they want, and they're basically telling the Trump-appointed judge, hey, you're not willing to go along with this, so we're just going to dismiss this and file it in a jurisdiction that's better suited to giving him this sweetheart deal.
Now, the laptop, at least the first repair store it got left at, that Hunter, oops, forgot to go pick it up, which is you need a yellow sticky note, people, if you're going to take your laptop to a computer store.
Also, don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
That'll help you forget where you left something.
And don't take a bunch of salacious pictures of yourself and leave it on a laptop that you're going to forget to go pick up, which gets exposed to the public. I didn't mean that as...
I would just stop right here.
I'm just skipping on past that. No need to revisit what I just said. I think people get it. You know what? So just so I understand here, Jenna, you have what Republicans are criticizing today, most of them, is that you have a court case that's been we found out that the defense and the prosecution basically were basically ideologically compatriots to defend, to make the best case scenario for Hunter Biden, right? And the judge was on to it and said, you can't, I see what's going on here. You guys can't offer him a sweetheart deal when he has these major crimes to deal with. Go back and come back to me. But now with this special counsel, that's what the judge said. You guys come back to me with something more sensible. And now the Attorney General of the United States, it gets kind of complicated, steps in and appoints a special counselor. That is not called special prosecutor?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's the same thing. Special counsel.
Okay.
Special prosecutor.
To investigate. So does that mean you sort of start over? Is that what they're saying here? Is that what they're saying here?
Yeah. I mean, they basically want to pick a new judge is my
okay.
reading on it.
This
and
is
that's
saving,
all
this
that it is.
This is potentially this is saving Hunter Biden and Joe Biden. That's what the Republicans are saying, right?
That's what the Republicans are saying because, as Lindsey Graham, who I you know as listeners know, I don't generally quote favorably, but he did say that this does not pass the smell test, and I would agree with that. I mean, this is obviously something that because the judge didn't give the prosecution what they wanted. Then they want to go to a favorable judge. And if there was, if the prosecution was actually an adverse party to the defendant, in this case, Hunter Biden, which is what our system is all about, being adversarial and actually wanting to pursue justice, which is their mandate, then they wouldn't just be saying, okay, fine, then we're going to drop it and we're going to go and get a judge that will agree with us. And if they were genuinely adversarial, then Hunter Biden's counsel would be saying, wait a minute, no way. We can't go to a different jurisdiction just because the judge doesn't give you what you want. But this is something where clearly both parties are aligned, in my opinion, to protect Hunter Biden. And so, of course, they're saying, yeah, let's go to a judge that won't inquire on anything and will just give us what we want, which is to protect the Biden crime family.
Jenna, what about the statute of limitations? Is there a danger at some point here that Merrick Garland via the special counsel attorney David Weiss, that they simply will run out of time and there's a statute of limitations and oh, time's up. You didn't get a conviction because in parentheses, because we dragged this out so long. Is there a danger in that happening?
That's possible. I'm not aware specifically of the statute of limitations as to what has been charged on the two tax offenses or the underlying conduct of what they could pursue. That is a very valid question. And certainly, if they're just wanting to run out the timetable, that could be something else that then they would be giving the defense to basically have a motion for claim preclusion and say, you know, you can't bring this because it's outside the statute of limitations. So, you know, a lot of these things are tactics that that ultimately would result in a lack of accountability for Hunter Biden. And if the prosecutor is playing any of those games, then that is dereliction of duty and not going along with their responsibility and obligation to pursue justice. And justice, of course, doesn't mean that sometimes they can't drop cases, they can't file, you know, agree for motions to dismiss, you know, any of those things. But in the particular circumstances here, it's very clear that what they're trying to do is get a favorable judge.
Yeah. Well, fellas, ladies and gentlemen, regarding this topic, my attention span has done run out. We're going to let Jenna go. And Jenna, I'll get with you. Maybe we can visit tomorrow about further developments on this. And thank you for being on with us this morning. Appreciate it very much.
Sounds good. I mean, it's another day, another Hunter Biden story. Yes. So I'm sure there will be a lot to talk about tomorrow.
I know.
So great to join
you
guys.
Okay, thank you. All right, thanks. That's Jenna Ellis joining us.
Yeah, listen, we all know that corrupt things happen when big money and a lot of power is involved, but the Biden administration just seems to be going, bending over backwards to, they just don't seem to care.
Well, What they're going to say is, they're going to say, listen, you Republicans, you wanted a special counsel,
right,
to investigate Hunter Biden. Well, now we give you one, and now you're whining and complaining.
Yeah.
Huh?
Well,
that's what they're going to say.
Yeah. Well, it's the person who they have appointed, this U.S. Attorney David Weiss. He was apparently, Fred, I think I've got this right, he was apparently part of this group that Shapley, the one who, the whistleblower?
Yes.
That Weiss was involved in covering up and halting things when the initial investigations of Hunter Biden erupted.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I'm just saying, it seems to me that they picked the best possible person to investigate Hunter Biden, because this is not a person who wants to investigate and find anything.
Yeah, well, we had the two whistleblowers who appeared before the Oversight Committee or Judiciary Committee, I think it was.
Right.
One of them, I think...
Gary Shapley.
Who identified himself as a Democrat and a homosexual. He was one of the FBI, the whistleblowers. He testifies that when they wanted to go and raid a storage place to get more information on Hunter Biden's tax returns and his financial records, Weiss calls up Hunter Biden's lawyers and say, hey, there's a raid coming.
Yes.
Now, this is what they testified under oath before Congress. This is the guy that the Attorney General of the United States says, I think that Weiss will make a really good special prosecutor in this case. That's why people are looking at this and they're saying, wait a minute.
Right.
This is the fox overseeing the hen house.
I got a proposal for America.
Okay.
Okay, hear me out. You want this one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, it's far-fetched, but I'm just trying to think outside the box here. If I'm former President Donald Trump, I get on the phone, I call President Joe Biden at his beach house, right? And I just say, look, why don't you drop everything against me, and we'll drop everything against you, and your boy Hunter, I don't think your boy would probably be a good way to say it.
Right.
Your adult son of many years, Hunter, and we'll just call it a day. Call it a day at the beach. We'll just wash everything. How about that? What do you think? You think that would work, Ed?
No.
No, it wouldn't?
No.
Okay, well, it's just shot in the dark.
Yeah, no, Ed. Listen. And, in fact, what Joe Biden would say is...
save America the trouble of all these...
What Joe Biden would say is, what? Day at the beach, I'm at the beach 4 days out of the week. I already have a day at the beach.
I got you. Yeah, and that is true. I tell you what, I've never seen a guy on vacation so much who's the president of the United States. Have you?
No. Now, okay, now listen, we talked in the hallway that these kinds of barbs go back and forth depending on your politics.
Yeah.
And so there are people on the left who'd say, "Why are you kidding? Donald Trump was always golfing.
Right.
He was always doing this and that when he was president." But Joe Biden sure does vacation a lot, and he is single-handedly keeping the ice cream business in business.
Practically speaking, it doesn't hurt that Delaware is, what, a couple of hours from D.C.?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, and he's got a beach home there.
Right.
Talking about Biden. So it didn't like he's – Obama would fly to Hawaii.
Bush would go to Texas.
Yeah.
So I don't begrudge presidents their time off.
But, you know, presidents are president 24/7 no matter where they are.
Right.
It looks bad sometimes, the optics. For example, President Biden, they showed him on the beach vacationing, and then they showed this imagery of what's happening in Hawaii.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's a disaster going on somewhere all the time. So if the president of the United States, whoever he may be, Democrat or Republican, are going to say, listen, I can't take a break because there's a disaster going on somewhere. I remember a few months ago, Governor DeSantis of Florida was in Ohio or somewhere speaking, and a flood took place in Fort Lauderdale. You know, one of those flash floods.
Yeah.
And so the city streets were flooding. So the press, many of the press were going, what is DeSantis doing in Ohio when there's a flood in Fort Lauderdale? You know, right. as if he could go down there and unstop the drains, you know, himself. You know, so it's Republicans and Democrats oftentimes, unfairly criticize the other on things like, you know, optics, like yeah. I'm saying. And so what are you watching there on TV that's more interesting than what I got to say, Ed?
No, I was paying attention to everything
you
said.
What are you mesmerized by?
Well, California, they're talking about parents at the local school district, and they were complaining about the gender policy, and there were people who were hauled away because they were speaking to the school board. But now, listen, I try to convince my wife of this. We'll see if it works on you. I could try to convince her that I can do two things at once. I can stay locked in and watch a hockey game and listen to her prattle on. I mean, talk about her day. And so I assure you, I was watching that and listening to you.
Okay. We have a TV in the studio here, ladies and gentlemen. And Ed, as I was waxing eloquent there, Ed was looking straight at the TV screen and seemingly didn't care about what I had to say.
You're buying it as much as my wife buys it.
Hey, the phrase that husbands don't want to hear is what did I just say? Right? That's what husbands know they're in trouble if you can't answer the question, what did I just
say? That's right. What did I just say?
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. Fred, we got about 3 minutes left.
I think we need a Kamala Harris moment.
Oh.
Oh, Fred.
I'd rather have 17 moments of silence, if we could. Well, we got a. Do we have a Vice President Harris spoke?
She spoke, and very familiar line. They put her onto the campaign trail, you know. They feel they have a weapon in Kamala Harris.
Oh, do they?
Yes.
Okay.
And she was saying, you know, that the Republicans are out there making it harder to vote in Georgia. Uh-huh. So we're going to hear a little bit of her, but then Joe Concha, one of the commentators from Fox, responds with the facts. Cut number four.
These so-called leaders who are so bold as to unapologetically propose and pass laws to make it more difficult for the American people to vote.
She's obviously referring to Georgia, which she and Joe Biden have called Jim Crow 2.0. In Georgia, since their voting laws were passed in 2021, we've seen record turnouts by a country mile in their last two elections. Those are the numbers. And there have been virtually no complaints of voter suppression or being difficult to vote there, especially by minorities. So this was propaganda in broad daylight.
And he's exactly right. But the Democrats are out there because they know the mainstream media will just faithfully repeat everything a Democrat says, like Kamala Harris, and not question it. But there's Joe Concha saying the facts totally defy what the vice president is saying.
Well, and so eloquently said. Yes. Kamala Harris, known for her ability to speak eloquently and concisely.
I call her Thousand Island Harris.
For word salads? Thousand Island.
Huh?
I was listening to what you just said. Word salad Harris, Thousand Island. I like that. That's clever. Did you come up with that?
Yeah, just right here, off the top of my head.
Thousand Island Harris.
Fred, appreciate it.
Absolutely. I had to get us out of that, you know. Had to help Ed out. Yeah. Ed was in a squeeze there, so. Yeah.
That's the story of my life.
All right. We're going to take a short time out. Steve Paisley Jordahl will be up in 5 minutes.
He's never going to live down that nickname, is he?
Well.
It's his own fault, really.
I think he likes it. Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. Stay with us.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.